Our gospel reading for this morning is the story of Mary learning of God's plans for her. Listen for what the Spirit may speak to us through these words. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his word and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. There is a scene in Lewis Carroll's Through the Looking Glass where Alice is talking with the White Queen. And she has just learned that the Queen lives life backwards, that she remembers things before they happen. And in the course of their conversation, Alice becomes a bit bewildered and begins to cry. And during her attempts to cheer her up, the White Queen asks Alice how old she is. "I am 7 1/2 exactly," says Alice. There's no need to say exactly," says the Queen. "I can believe it without that. And here is something for you to believe. I am just 101, 5 months, and a day." "I can't believe that," said Alice. "You can't," said the Queen in a pitying tone. "Well, try again. Draw a deep breath and shut your eyes." Alice laughed. "There's no sense in trying. One can't believe impossible things." "I dare say you've not had much practice," said the Queen. "When I was a child your age, I did it for 30 minutes each day. Why, some days I believed 6 impossible things before breakfast." Now, we Christians of all people should know all about believing impossible things. After all, we speak of, quite casually, of Jesus changing water into wine, of him walking on water, and of dying and being raised on the third day. And then there's that line in the Apostles' Creed that tells us that Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. Now, even though not a whole lot is made in the Bible about Jesus' virgin birth, the church did make a big deal of it. The Roman Catholic Church added to it, expanded upon it. They decided that Mary's birth was also miraculous, immaculate in the words of the doctrine, and that her virginity went on forever, that she was a virgin the rest of her life, never mind that the Bible speaks of Jesus' brothers and sisters and that one of those brothers, James, becomes the leader of the fledgling church after Pentecost. Now, when the Protestant Reformation came along, the Reformers insisted that we should believe only those impossible things which were actually in the Bible. And so we tossed out the perpetual virginity of Mary and the Immaculate Conception, but we held on to the virgin birth. We Protestants like believing impossible things as much as Catholics. We just have a different list. Now, all of this is a long way of saying that although we Christians may may disagree and even argue about which impossible things we are to believe, it goes without saying that we expect people to believe impossible things, perhaps even six before breakfast. However, that doesn't necessarily mean that these impossible things have any impact on how we live. I mean, think about it. How much difference does it make in your life whether or not Mary was a virgin or not? I know a number of Christians of very deep faith who lead exemplary lives, some of whom believe in a historical virgin birth and some of whom don't. Believing or not believing in this particular impossible thing seems not to make much difference. But in our gospel reading for today, Mary hears of an impossible thing that simply will not happen without her cooperation, without her yes. Now we Protestants have tended to diminish Mary, at times overreacting to what we have seen as unsupportable doctrines of the Catholic Church. But Luke portrays Mary in his gospel as both a disciple and as a prophet. When Mary is confronted with God's impossible plans, she scarcely objects. She exhibits a faith that is more trusting than that of Moses and many of the other heroes in the Old Testament, saying, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." And having said yes to the impossible, Mary begins to see that impossible unfold. When she goes and visits her cousin Elizabeth, she sings of that new day that is coming. She sings that God has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly, that God has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. And that's not that God will, but God has. Mary has said yes to the impossible, and now it has become a part of her. She experiences it as a present reality in her life. Now, as Christmas draws near, we speak of more of those impossible things that we Christians like to proclaim. We remember once more a baby in a manger, shepherds in a field, and we join with the angels in singing their impossible song of peace on earth. Of course, we don't really believe that impossible thing. We sing of peace on earth, of the Prince of Peace, but we know that peace can be maintained only by the best military that money can buy. And so even in a time when our nation staggers under huge debt, any talk of significant cuts in military spending is, well, impossible. Meister Eckhart, a priest and mystic who lived in the 14th century, once spoke of how we, like Mary, must say yes to the impossible plans of God, that we are called to become a part of those plans. He said, "We are all meant to be mothers of God, for God is always needing to be born." And that requires that we say yes to God. Mary must say her yes to God's impossible plans, and so must we. Now, Christmas celebrates the results of Mary's yes, but all too often it stops there. It forgets that when we say our yes, that the Holy Spirit comes upon us, and that we are joined to God's impossible plan, that we begin to live into and experience that impossible new thing, that reign of God that Jesus tells us has drawn near. Back in 1998, a 6-year-old boy named Ryan learned from his first grade teacher that many children in Africa had to walk incredibly long distances just to find clean, fresh water. Stunned by this revelation, young Ryan decided that he should construct a well for a village in Africa, and he began to raise money doing household chores. But after 4 months of raising money, he had come up with only $70 towards a $2,000 well. But Ryan kept at it. And in 1999, the first well by 7-year-old Ryan was completed in a village in Uganda. And since then, the foundation begun by Ryan, now a 20-year-old college student, has completed 667 water and sanitation projects in 16 different countries. Now, perhaps if Ryan had been older and wiser, he would have known better, would have known how impossible it was for a little boy with no money to do such a thing. But being a child, he was more open to the impossible than many of us. Maybe that's why God's impossible plan begins with a 15-year-old girl, a girl named Mary, who's perhaps not old enough to know any better. What impossible thing of God is just waiting for your yes? All praise and glory to the one whose birth we celebrate and whose impossible new day we are joined to in our baptism. Thanks be to God.